Well, welcome everybody. I'm feeling a bit lonely at the front. There's a lot of empty spaces. You're going to have a chance to be away from me for a long time soon, but it would be nice if you could be. If anyone wants to come forward, do. As ever, no one does. Welcome to our APCM service tonight, and it very much is. The whole thing is a service. The whole thing is an act of worship, and it's not going to be with a bit of service and then with a bit of meeting. You know, the whole thing is going to seamlessly flow together. And it's a time to worship God. It's a time to look back and give thanks. It's a time to look forward with expectancy about what God is going to do, or what God might be about to do. But we do, of course, start with some notices. And just a reminder, Alpha is starting very soon on the 27th of April. And I'm really encouraged. We have got some good number of people signing up already for it. And some have come completely cold via the leaflets or the website, one of the two, I'm not quite sure which. Some have come through contacts, a couple that Helen and I saw for a baptism booking in session on Friday of signing up to do it. So really exciting of that. And do pray for that. And just to inspire you a little bit more, here's Colin, who couldn't be here tonight and sends his apologies. But here he is, and then with Russell.
I'm quite excited that we are about to launch an alpha course in a couple of weeks' time.
And what's an alpha course? Give us a bit of an outline.
An alpha course is a 12-week course which aims to look at some of the most important topics of the Christian faith.
Good. And who's it aimed at?
Anybody's welcome to come along. Vicars, members of the congregation, agnostics, atheists, anybody who's interested in exploring the Christian faith or has questions that they'd like to discuss with other people.
And what happens on an evening?
Well, we're going to kick off on Thursday the 27th of April at 7 p.m. and we start with some food. We're going to have a cold buffet and some cake and coffee, and then we will watch a video which looks at the topic and makes a few points, and then we'll have some group discussion time. We love people to ask questions. This is all about asking questions, and the more questions the better. We don't promise to have all the answers. In fact, I can guarantee we won't have all the answers, but we are very happy to discuss them and to explore them together. You can just turn up, but we prefer you to let us know that you're coming. You can register online on the church website. You can contact the church office, let them know, or you can contact me directly and let us know. The main thing is the more people we know who are coming, the more chance we'll have of having enough cake to go around.
Hi Russell, good to see you again. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Just wanted to ask you a few questions about Alpha. What was it that really first captured your attention for going on an Alpha course?
Well, first, I was working at your house, funnily enough, doing some decorating, and yourself and your fine wife, Mariam, were talking about it, and doing lots of cooking where you were taking somewhere, and I asked, where's all this nice food going? It's going to Alpha. When you told me about it, I thought, I could give that a go, mainly so that I could prove you all wrong. And then you started showing me things like evidence. Annoying.
And so, if you could pick out a couple of things, what are the main things that you've taken from Alpha? What way has it impacted on your life?
Well, coming from a background of addiction and many other things, I've kind of always had an idea of a higher power or something out there greater than myself. So finding Alpha kind of helped me identify who God was, you know, in my eyes, in the Bible. And particularly when I had some real struggles, was struck with this obsession of using drugs again. And I literally got on my knees and I prayed for the Holy Spirit to remove my obsession, and it just happened. And I'd like to say it was like that, because it was, you know. And I'm still clean since then, thankfully, and that's the Holy Spirit for me.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody was thinking, perhaps I could go on this Alpha course, but I'm not sure, what would you say to them?
I went on to challenge it, and I came out a Christian. So if you're going to go and have a look, because you're not sure, go and give it a try, yeah.
Brilliant.
It was so lovely to see Russ and Iris here last Sunday night, and I had a good chat with them the day before as well, and it was so lovely. Russ just sat there and said, the drugs isn't an issue anymore. He says it's just not a problem anymore. And he's now working with other just people trying to come up, get off drugs in Birmingham, and doing amazing stuff, really tough stuff, but doing amazing stuff. And that all started because he made the foolish decision to go and paint at Colin's house nearly when Alpha was about to be on, which is always dangerous. But I show you that just to encourage you again. You know, God is in the business of changing lives, and that's what we're here to celebrate more than anything tonight. That's what's important, not numbers, not gloss, not nice annual reviews. It's about God changing lives and God meeting people. And we've got a few stories to tell tonight. But I also show that to say, please pray for Alpha. Please invite anyone to Alpha who you might be prompted to. Perhaps everybody, take an Alpha invite away tonight and just ask God to show you this week someone you might give it to. And just to see what God does. Just particularly pray for the call starting on the 27th. And I'm looking forward to coming back and hearing all about it. Should be great. Also coming up, can you flick me on? Thank you. Our next Ignite gathering, which Ignite is for churches across Malvern and the surrounding area, where we come together and get a national speaker. Our national speaker is born and bred in Malvern and was here a few weeks ago, who's Tim Alford, who's National Director of Limitless, which is the Youth and Children's Ministry of Elim, based up at Regent's, and he's going to come and speak at Ignite on the 27th of April. If you're not going to Alpha, it's all happening that night, you come to MEC instead. That's for everybody, but particularly for young people. He's just a big young person's speaker around national conferences, but he's good for anyone to come and listen to. So come and join him, and he has been spotted at our churches here at the 10:30 recently. Watch this space. And just to say, in the evenings coming up, starting on April the 30th, we're going to do something slightly different, or you guys are going to do something slightly different at the evening service. So we're not going to follow the morning theme series for the Colossians series, which we're going to do in the morning. But on April the 30th, we're going to start a five-week course called the Prophetic Lifestyle Course. I did this course a few years ago in Shrewsbury, and it's a great course on how to listen to God and just practice sort of gift of prophecy and being open to God's voice. And it ties on really well after the Lectio stuff. And so what we're going to do at the evening service is basically there's a half-hour video teaching slot which we'll show. We'll have some worship, have a half-hour video teaching slot, and then have a chance to sort of do a little exercise to practice listening to God together, a bit like we did with Peter Myers about the prayer stuff a few years ago. So particularly if you don't normally come to the evening service, I really encourage you to come on those times. There's a two-week gap in the middle around Pentecost and when there's a new wine regional celebration in Worcester. But that's going to be a really helpful course to equip us more to listen to God's voice with that. And as ever, if you are new to the church and don't get our electronic mailing, then please do click that button on the website and register to get the mailing. And all our news is on that. If anyone's having trouble getting the mailing, I'm just noticing the stats lately. We've just slightly gone to a new subscription, and some weeks it looks really down. If people aren't getting it at all, then do tell us or tell Liz. I'm just wondering whether there's something happening that and some people aren't getting it through. But otherwise, watch this space. Let's stand. We are in the Easter season, and we don't just remember Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday. We remember it all year through, but particularly in these next few weeks. So let's just say these words to remind us as we begin our service. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. God is alive. New birth is given. Hope is alive. A new age is dawning. Joy is alive. Redemption is here. Love is alive. Death cannot harm us. We are alive. New life is within us. The church is alive. God's Spirit is with us. And so, Lord, as we come to worship you tonight, we lift you high at the very centre of all we do. We point everything to you and bring you glory for what you have done and what you will do. And we remember again your death and resurrection, which changes everything. And as we come to worship you this morning, just reveal more of yourself to us. And come, Holy Spirit, and come and meet with us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.
My
And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for all we have to worship you for. We thank you that you died for each one of us, that you rose again, that death is defeated, that you have brought us back to God, that you demonstrated your love for us, that you call us friends. And we worship you and we give you thanks that you are here with us by your Spirit. And we say, would you make us more like Christ? Would you shape us to live the way that you want us to live? Will you shape us to be the church you've called us to be? And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Do take a seat, everybody. We're going to start by looking back and giving thanks. Giving thanks for all that 2022 brought. And that's the weird thing when we do APCMs in April. We're just thinking, are we talking about the last year up to April 2022, or are we looking at 2022? And the answer is, I'm not really sure. But these pictures are all from 2022. So here are a few things that happened. 2022 was a year of change. You can see that picture is of Peter's licensing, which happened just early May, nearly a year ago now. Can you believe it's over a year since Peter went? But we've survived. And we've thrived, but it's been different. I'm meeting up with Peter for a game of golf a week on Thursday, and he's doing well, and he sends you his regards. But with departures come arrivals, and we hoped we might have about three new arrivals this year, but we only got one. But we are very grateful to have Liz with us, and Liz is at the back taking minutes as our operations manager, and it's great to have her as part of the team here. So a year of change and a year of transition, and that's not always been easy, I must admit, as some of you know, and we have been understaffed for a lot of the year. But God has been gracious, and you guys have been amazing. And I thank you for holding me and holding stuff in place. And it wasn't just holding. God's been doing amazing things, despite our weaknesses, which we're so grateful for. Part of change, too, has been a change in Malvern Cap. And Chris finished as cap manager at the end of 2022. And Denise was promoted from cap coach, deck coach, to centre manager. And it was so lovely to have Denise. Is Denise here? I don't think she is. She was up at All Saints this morning. And if you watch the All Saints one, she gave a great 5 minutes just update on what's going on with cap there. And so we have a significant change that's happened in this last year. One of the highlights for me, it was our magician. Who was at the magician? A few of us were. It was an amazing evening of amazing magic and amazing testimony, particularly there for the CAP clients. And so many people heard the gospel there. And I think CAP's such a great example of, you know, what we're trying to do here as a church, that partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. Partnering with God, this is all about God's work. Partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. That's flourishing in physically, materially, emotionally, spiritually. God's interested in the whole person, and we seek to serve the whole person. And CAP is just such a great example of that social action alongside evangelism and pointing them to Jesus, which we must keep doing. So there's change there. There's also been change with our seniors ministry. After 14 years of seniors ministry, running Holiday at Home, running amazing stuff, and the main three who've been Rosemary Harrison, give us a wave, Rosemary, I saw you there, Rosemary, and Patience Broad, and Angela Gibson, is Angela here? And Sean's been a key part of it too, give us a wave, Sean. The leadership stepped down at the last event, which was just before Christmas, and we celebrated all that God has done with that, and so many people have been just appreciated that just fantastic ministry to our seniors. And no one else has stepped up to take that on as it was. And I think there's a real sense that actually God is wanting us to do something new in this season. with our seniors. And I think there's been so many other things, like the midweek service and the bereavement cafe, where just there's new ministries forming with our seniors particularly. And I was talking to All Saints this morning about Megan's Kitchen, which we just finished the final designs for after having to go back to redesign bits of it. And we're hoping that Megan's Kitchen up at All Saints will be built by the end of this year. And I'm wondering whether actually that is part of a new ministry for seniors. You know, something like a monthly lunch that's up there in the church with Megan's Kitchen. Wouldn't that be amazing? But I say this because I partly wanted to put it out to you guys and say, you know, maybe God's going to call someone even here now who actually is called to take on, not to do what we've done before, but to do it differently and to do what's right for this next season. So I put that out there, but I also just want to acknowledge the amazing work that's been done, not just from those leaders I mentioned, but from an amazing team of people who've served on tables, washed up, got lifts, chatted to people, just loved people. It's been something really to celebrate, and we want to really acknowledge that today. 2022 was also a significant year of worldwide change and conflict, wasn't it? You know, and we, I guess, sort of this time last year, we didn't really realise how much it would affect us. We were there chatting to Terry and Hanker on Zoom at the Zoom prayer meetings and hearing updates from them, not perhaps realising that actually we would be so impacted with our own Ukrainian guests who've been such a real blessing to us. And it's been amazing both to support Terry and Hanker and to just welcome guests here to our churches who have really loved being with us. And thank you to all those of you who've made them feel welcome and particularly who've hosted them. It's been real, really kingdom stuff in doing that. And really exciting. And it's a year of continuing growth. I just thought it would be helpful just to put some figures. Numbers isn't what we're interested in, really. But I think it just does put things in perspective. So I arrived at the end of 2015, and going back to the figures, you know, our total worshipping community at the end of 2015 was 160. At the end of 2022, it's 332. And actually, since the start of the year, there's some figures at the bottom, we've sort of gained nearly 30 people and probably more already, just since the start of the year there. Children and youth numbers are virtually double, which is amazing, and something amazing to celebrate. Life groups have jumped from 8 to 16. I think it's about to go to 19. There's now a sort of youth life group, although they don't want to call themselves a life group. But some of our older youth have set up their own life group, which is brilliant. The two groups that are doing the Lectio course on a Wednesday morning and Tuesday night are about to just launch off into new life groups, which is so exciting. So much to be thankful for. Just to give you an idea too, you know, our new service pattern that we came out of COVID with, just to say where we are, and these are fairly conservative estimates. You know, early birds now, we're getting between 30 and 40, had over 40 this morning, didn't we, Helen, including a new couple who Helen and I had seen at baptism, booking in a baptism on Friday, and they were here today. Midweek service, you know, we're getting 30 to 35, sometimes up to 40, really encouraging, Heather, isn't it? A monthly lunch after that, which is a real place of community, and, you know, at least five regulars have recently been bereaved and come through the bereavement cafe, which is really significant. 10:30, as a lot of you have seen, is full again. You know, 130 to 150, and sometimes we've had up to 170, even 190, you know, which is remarkable. Evening service, you know, with chaos as well, you know, with 50 to 60, sometimes more than that. And All Saints service, 30 to 40, we're getting. You know, they are, to put it in the context of the Upton Deanery, okay, those figures, if they were a benefice, a group of parishes in the Upton Deanery, any one of those congregations would be the second highest in the Upton Deanery. Now, we've got so much to be grateful for, but I put that up to say, you know, each of our congregations is finding a unique place and growing. And not just growing in numbers, but growing in depth and growing in connection with each other and growing in love and growing in being a welcoming community. And I just think of all the prayers we prayed to say, what's God leading us into? this is what God's led us into, and it's bearing fruit. And I think, thank you for all those who prayed and who grappled and the PCC meetings we had to say, what are we going to come out of COVID looking like? Thank you for your courage in coming out differently. And actually, this has made a real difference to celebrate. And, you know, just, you know, the figures for Sundays in this year, 2023, you know, we are getting virtually every week between 55 and 75 under 16s, which is remarkable and so much to be grateful for. But of course, it's not about the PowerPoint sticking on me. It's not about numbers. It's about changed lives. This was probably my highlight of last year, last June, seeing these four guys who are just going on with God in such an encouraging way. And I've had the privilege to be meeting on Tuesday nights with some of these guys for much of this year to just carry on with them, getting baptized and telling their stories and seeing them getting integrated and beginning to lead in the church. It's so exciting. You guys are such an encouragement to me and to all of us. And we thank God for the way that he's worked in your lives. And watch out. These guys are dangerous. They really are. I think, you know, in 2 years' time, I think we'll look at, and these guys will be doing really, really significant stuff. So watch this space, but let's give thanks. And those of you who were here at the baptism last Sunday, really special. Every baptism is different, isn't it? But this one was really special last Sunday, seeing Flo and Taylor stand up. And we've had some lovely comments back from their families over the last week as to how impacted they were by that, and people who aren't Christians. And just really encouraging to see the confidence of them standing up. And again, great testimony to our children's and Pathfinder leaders who have invested so much in them. So be encouraged. 2022, a year of memorable moments. This was another of my highlights. Can anyone guess what this was? It was chaos leading the evening service back in October, which was so lovely. They were amazing, just leading us in that service. And it's lovely to think that some of the people that were there now actually are now part of the youth group that were sort of just visiting on that day as well. And I think that was really impactful. This was another of my memorable moments. What was this? Maundy Thursday last year. Wasn't quite up to this standard this year. But this was my men's life group being amazing last year. And such a powerful time up at All Saints, just living in that story of Maundy Thursday and just seeing that enacted out, a really special occasion. I think this year, 2022, has been a year of increased prayer and waiting on God too. I think particularly at the end of the year, you know, we took that time to wait on God with not particularly an agenda, but I think we're seeing some of the fruit of that now. It's birthed new prayers, Zoom prayers on Lent, which we're carrying on after Easter. I'm really keen that we carry those on. New people are coming to pray on Zoom that haven't been coming in person. If you're not joining in, then come and join in on those. And keep praying. It's a great place to share news and to pray of what's happening and to seek what God's doing. And let's just continue the momentum that we started. A year to continue to bond together. You know, we had our first St. Andrew's shared lunch since COVID. And wasn't that a great occasion where I've never seen so many tables put out. And we had Terry and Hanker here too. And we've had another shared lunch since then, haven't we? And hopefully we'll put some more on. But it's been lovely to see people reconnecting and bonding. And part of that's been sharing each other's stories. This is the men's breakfast when Peter shared his darkest secrets about being on the Royal Yacht Britannia with the Queen that we had no idea about. You have to be a man to get into these secrets, but I'm glad the women are finally catching up with their women's breakfast too. But they're special occasions, and people are beginning to invite friends, and it's great to see what's developing with those. A year to serve our communities. Again, isn't it? You know, the cost of living crisis has impacted our communities, all of us, really hard. And it's been amazing to be able to be part of serving in that way. I wish we could do more, but, you know, we celebrate what we can do. And it's been great to be able to give away things on the Blessings Fund, money to people in need and to to just support in the different ways. Helen's going to come up and share a few things. She doesn't know what these pictures are, but come and share a few things. Well, I'll talk through the pictures, then you can come and share. And Ruth, I saw you. Ruth, come and join us too. I know I haven't told you that you're going to be standing up here, but come and show your face, which would be great. So a year of family fun and faith. You know, that was Forefront Theatre Company, the amazing Forefront Theatre Company doing The Fisherman's Tale, which was brilliant here. I'm hoping that we can get The Parable Keeper at some point next year too. We had lots of people in for there. Of course, we have Icing Pop. Give us a shout, Miz. We had, slightly freaked the new operations manager out when we tried to fit 400 people into the church plus. But we had 200 odd young people, children up front and all their parents. And it was brilliant and great fun there. And a year of seeing much fruit. Helen, you can take over, Helen and Ruth, and just share some. I'll prime you what you're going to talk about while she's talking.
So I just wanted to, share about how it's exciting times, because not only have we got lots of people coming to early birds and toddlers, but we're starting to see now people moving from toddlers and from early birds into other things. So from toddlers to Missy Church, baptism families who are coming, bringing their children for baptism, but joining us at early birds and finding faith, growing faith. With the addition of Ruth to my team, which is fantastic, we're starting now to be able to help families who are new to faith to go along with them on their faith journey and help them to learn how to do faith at home with their children, which is something that I've been wanting to do but haven't really got the skills. But Ruth is just fantastic at it, so which is brilliant. and schools... We've since the schools have opened up post-COVID, it's been great. We're starting now to really rebuild those relationships with the schools and teachers. So the children came, we did Experience Easter with all three schools. We're looking at doing Explore the Lord's Prayer later this term. We're hoping to have a children's conference, a big kids' day out, one Saturday in June, where we invite our church families, but also children from the local schools, and something they can bring their friends to for a fun day out. And school venture. Oh, you're going to do school venture. Yeah. Okay, you do school
venture. I've just found out I'm doing about school venture. So school venture is a connection that you made, is that right?
Ruth started work on the Wednesday. And on the Thursday, Helen and I were at the New Wine Leadership Conference, and we found out about this thing called school vouchers, and we really suddenly decided partly why Ruth had just been appointed.
Yeah, so school ventures is basically this organisation that puts together a three-night programme for young children to go kind of year four, year five, into your local outdoor activity centre. So for us, it would be West Malvern. And their vision is that you maybe get two or three schools together, maybe a group of 15 children from each school. As a church, you get your volunteers together and you take that group of children into the outdoor venture centre, and they run this incredible programme, which is in line with the national curriculum, but very gospel-focused. So they tell you exactly how to use that time over the, 2-3 days. So we're starting...
We're just exploring.
Yeah, to see if that's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Did I get it right?
You did, absolutely. Exactly what I've written
here.
Huge.
Oh. Great. And can I just say about Connected Families as well? So another thing So I had the opportunity to train as a Connected Families coach, and the church were wonderful in supporting me in that. And I've been going in and speaking to the heads at the Wells, the Witch, and the parish. And that's another thing that I've been offering, which is just really how do we bring our children up and model the love and grace of God in the way that we parent. So it's not just about, okay, I'm going to do a great Bible study with my children, but then for the rest of the day, I'm just going to not model that love of Christ. And so I've been invited to go and do seminars in two of the schools. So I'm hoping that that might be a door. And also when we do the church fun day for the children that Helen mentioned, maybe trying to do one along a parenting course alongside, maybe up at All Saints, something like that. Whilst the children are busy occupied, then parents can maybe come along. So that's another thing that we're looking at.
Yeah, brilliant. it's really exciting what's happening, but we just still always need more people on the team. So we've got a fantastic team. The Sunday morning teams are brilliant. They're so committed to their groups, and particularly looking after their children in their groups and praying for them. And we've seen amazing answers to prayer with those children in our groups. But we still need more helpers. So people just to volunteer to help on a Sunday morning or at Messy Church, which is great fun, and numbers are growing at Messy Church again, and toddlers particularly here. So, you know, if you feel you've got a bit of time and you'd like to join an amazing team, then we'd be really grateful. So have I forgotten anything?
No, that's great.
Thank you. Sorry, I've not been checking my phone. I've been just looking for... I hope I'm all right in sharing this, but it was shared at the evening service last week. This is just a tiny bit of Flo's testimony from last Sunday, which I've just got on a WhatsApp message, because it was just so encouraging for me to hear, and just think is a great testament to what, you know, the Pathfinder team have been doing. So I'll read a little bit, but it won't be to read the whole thing. But Flo said, growing up, I've always gone to church and believed in God, but never really thought about it deeply. Only when I joined Pathfinders did I gradually realise there is more to being a Christian than just attending church each Sunday. As a Christian, it's my job to tell people about Jesus and to try my very best to be more like him. For me, today is the start of a lifelong journey with Jesus, and day by day I want to become more like him. Now I'm going to read the whole thing. Pathfinders has helped me dig deeper into Christ and really understand what it means to be a Christian. Another thing that's helping me get closer to God is doing Lectio Divina with my mum. We read a passage several times, look for parts that stand out to us, and then ask God what he's telling us through it. Then we turn the message we've been given into prayer. When the words, come follow me, appeared in a reading we were doing from Mark, I took it as a sign God was inviting me to follow him. I'm getting baptized because I truly believe I'm God's child, and I'm ready to commit to follow him for the rest of my life. Knowing God as my father and having a close relationship with him means that I'm never alone and always feel protected. Isn't that amazing from one of our 12-year-olds? So much to be thankful for. And bereavement support, I've already mentioned. You know, we've seen people from there come to faith, and we've got at least one doing Alpha next week. Amazing to see the connections. I just thought it'd be good to just spend a few moments in prayer, just offering that to God. Why don't we stand just to get you, stretch your legs. But would three or four people just offer prayers of thanks and praise for what we've just been able to share?
Has a place in your family. Everyone who comes here belongs. I pray now going forward that everyone would feel they have a contribution to make, a part to play, a them-shaped role in this family. Amen.
And so we thank you for all those things we've mentioned and all those things which we haven't. So much that we could have mentioned, but we give you the glory and we offer you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. do take a seat. We're not going to sing now because we're just watching the time. But I'm going to encourage you to just turn to Scripture. If you've got a Bible, then grab a Bible. And I haven't organised anyone to read, so I will read. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, page 1174 of the Church Bibles. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, who, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to just share a few thoughts. First of all, I'll just share right at the end of the APCM just some looking forward thoughts, but this is just some thoughts for now. And it feels a funny day for me tonight. It's a bit weird, as I'm sure you can understand. And I thought, well, what do I want to share with you tonight as I am on the eve of going off on sabbatical and also at the APCM and sharing with you some thoughts as we look back and look forward. And I pondered different Bible passages. I did wonder whether I should speak on this passage, Jesus's great words in John 16:16. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little time you will see me. Well, that's very true, but it's not what I thought was right for tonight. We had a prayer meeting before the service, and Helen Wilkinson was looking up something right at the end and said, "What are you looking at, Helen?" She says, "I want to look at where Moses went up the mountain," and the people all had a disagreement. And I was thinking, that would have been a good passage to look at tonight, when Moses goes up the mountain and the people quarrel and make a golden calf while he's away. Don't make a golden calf while I'm away. But actually, it was at the New Wine Conference back in March, where just in one of the meetings, as God often does with me, he just put something in my head. And just what he said was, I want the church to sabbatical as well as you sabbaticaling over these next few months. He says, this is a few months for the church to sabbatical as well as you. It's a few months where I want to fill them up as much as I want to fill you up. And I was being led, as I meditated on that, led to these words in Ephesians 3 about, you know, what I'd love you to pray for me and what I will be praying for you over these next few months. And I just have been pondering, you know, that thought of what does it mean for the church to sabbatical as well as me, because actually if the vicar's going away for 3 months, doesn't that mean there's more work for people to do? Well, as we prayed about it at Friday prayers, the following Friday, we had a real sense that God was saying, actually this is a time too for you guys to rest, for you guys to be recharged, particularly for you guys to celebrate and just to enjoy being in each other's company and in God's company. And I really hope and pray that you will do that over the next few months. We're trying to organise some things which will recharge you, and also some social times just to be together, and more of those another time. But that's what I want for you guys, and I want to pray that for you guys. And please do rest and recharge and sabbatical as well as me. But I think these verses from Ephesians 3 are really helpful in just thinking about some of that and what we might pray. You know, they're amazing words, aren't they? It starts with, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And that reminded me when I read that of, you know, that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we talked about a few weeks ago, which I think was such a word for us a few weeks ago and still is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face. And, you know, this stuff starts by getting on our knees and humbling ourselves and seeking God's face and acknowledging God is who God is. And we are here to serve and to love and to worship. And we're called to humble ourselves before him. Goes on that we're called to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. You know, that's what I'll be praying for you guys, that you'll be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the next few months. That's what I hope you'll be praying for me, because it reminds us that we can't do any of this stuff in our own strength. I was chatting to a friend just at Hubbers 4 before I came out, just saying, you know, we can't do this stuff on our own. The danger with our churches is that we're full of capable people and we think we can do it all with our good ideas and with all our skills, and we can't. And if we want to see God really at work, then it's about pressing into his power, and it's being strengthened with his power through his Holy Spirit. So let's pray for that for each other, that we'll be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. Goes on, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And now I pray that actually over these next few months that you would grow in your faith would be deepened, that this would be a chance for Christ to just be rooted even more at your very core, and that God will do that, that we can't do that. We can open ourselves, but it's God's job to do that, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And then that last bit, which I'm going to read in a slightly different version. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses all knowledge. It reminds us that we're called to be rooted in God's love. That actually we're called to dwell in God's love and to grasp the height and the breadth and the depth and the length of it. And I pray that this will be a season where you can do that more and that I can do that more. That we come back together and we're full of the fullness of God, the love of God. We're deeply rooted in the love of God, which everything else needs to flow from. But it was really verse 20, or 19 I think it is, that actually God spoke to me about. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And God just gave me a little visual aid while I was at the New Wine Conference. And I felt God just say, actually, so many of us, and me and so many of you guys, have been operating like this. You know, we've been given out from a little bit inside us, and then coming back to God and filling up a little bit more and giving out a little bit more, and so we're just giving out from just enough. You know, we're giving out, filling up, giving out, filling up. And that's okay, but actually it's not really sustainable. And I had a sense of God was saying what he wants to do with me and what he wants to do with you in the sabbatical is just to say, sit. And let me fill you right to the fullness of Christ. Let me fill you right to the brim so that actually you're overflowing with my love and who I am. That actually when people bump into us, you know, we overflow with God's love because we're so full of it. And there was a sense that after 7 years of, you know, busy work here and doing stuff in the parish and all that's been going on over the last seven, many of those have been really difficult years. God's saying, I want you to rest and I want you to be recharged and I want you to let me fill you right to the brim. And that's what I pray for you and that's what I want for you. Because actually if I can come back in the middle of July and find that I'm full to the brim and you're full to the brim, God can do amazing things. So I don't want you to run about thinking you've got to do a load of stuff. You know, if God does stuff, he'll do stuff. He doesn't need us. And God's been doing stuff already when we haven't even tried, and that's when we know it's God. But our job is to focus on being filled and letting God fill us right to the top so we are fully recharged again to set off again in August or September, whenever, you know, God shows us what the next bit is. And what does that look like? Well, I think it's some of these things. How do we do that? Some of you will have seen my little video when I went to see Frank, our now 106-year-old, at Hastings last Sunday. And when Frank's Easter message to us was, keep the faith. Keep on in the faith. And actually, just, I want to say some keep ons. Keep on connecting with God in Scripture. You know, I think God's been doing something significant in the last few weeks as we've done the Lectio course, and I've never had a time where I've seen people as excited to read Scripture and to feel that God's speaking to them through Scripture. Let's not lose that momentum. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep doing that in our life groups. Let's keep doing that individually. Keep on connecting with God in Scripture. Keep on praying together. It's been lovely having extra prayer times. Let's keep on keeping prayer right at the heart and the foundation of all we do. Keep on praying together, please, while I'm away, and see what God does. Keep on worshipping. Keep on gathering together and worshipping wholeheartedly. Keep on loving each other as you do. You know, I hear so many reports of people saying, what an amazing, special, loving community. Thank you for being that. Keep on doing that, because it's noticed, and that's why people stay. Keep on being open to the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that God's been teaching us, actually, we need to be guided fully by the Spirit and not just our own good ideas. And, you know, so much of what I've learned over the last year is I've gone back time and time again to Exodus 14:14. Whenever I've felt, I need to make that happen and I need to just go and do that because that's really frustrating me and it's got to fix it. And if I don't, we're in trouble. God's kept saying, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You just have to be still. And time again, God's opened things up, which I couldn't have done, which none of us could have done at the right time. And let's just keep holding on to that. Let's not panic into feeling we've got to make something happen. Let's let God do it in his way, in his time. Keep on doing all of those things. And of course, that passage finishes with these amazing words. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. You know, it reminds us that actually, if we do those things, we keep focus on God and keep letting God fight for us, he will do immeasurably more than we could hope or imagine. He will do far more than we could ever have a vision for if we're seeking after him. And ultimately there, it's all for his glory. It's all for God's glory. It's all to raise the name of Jesus high in this town and in this place and in our nation. Let us be people who keep on in these next few weeks and months. Let us be people who allow God to fill us right to the brim together, so that in mid-July, August, September, when we come together and go out again, we are full to overflowing with the Spirit of God and the love of God, which will impact our communities. You know, God created the seventh day to rest. Therefore, actually, the seventh year is a good time to rest. You know, we don't have to have activity all the time. Let's rest. Let's be recharged. Let's celebrate. And then let's get ready to go again when God calls us to. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to sing again just to dedicate that. But why don't we just stand and just invite God's Spirit to even start filling us again now. And maybe actually some of you really relate to that, you know, 2-centimeter full jug, which is being filled up as fast as it's being pulled out. And actually maybe it's just a chance to acknowledge before God, that's where I am at the moment. And I just want to stop and rest and allow you to fully recharge me. And I say, Lord, would you do that right now? Would you begin to do that in each of us right now? We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and refresh us, restore us. Fill us to the fullness of Christ, to overflowing with your love. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your love never runs out. That actually even when our love might run out, that your love is just an unstoppable supply that never runs out. And just maybe we be filled to overflowing with your love afresh. Just come and restore us. Come and recharge us. Come and prepare us for this next season ahead. And as we turn to the more business bits of this service now, just come and be with us. And we just offer these to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do take a seat, and we're going to go through the more businessy bits now, hopefully you've got an agenda and papers, but if you haven't, you don't really need them. Stuff is on the screen. So we start with the meeting of the parishioners, which is the shortest meeting I ever do, which is for those on electoral roll or who are resident in the parish of St Andrews, and it's the meeting where we simply elect the church wardens for the coming year. Apologies for absence. We have got three apologies: Colin Robbins, Carol Nichols, Ian Nichols. If you have other apologies from people, please do send them on to Liz. And if you're watching later on from home and want to send your apologies in for the official minutes, send them to Liz too. So we do have one church warden who has served for many, many years and who we're finally letting have a rest. And the thing with this person is that you often get two for the price of one. Nick Anval, would you come up to the front? Where are you? We just want to say thank you. And I think it's right that Val comes up too, because she's done so much alongside Nick. And Nick has been a church warden for 6 years, haven't you, Nick? And about the last 3 years, we've had a conversation. Are you going to step back? No. All right, I'll carry on. We're finally letting him go. But I want to say on behalf of all of us a huge thank you, Nick and Val, for all that you have done serving in this way. Most of you won't see Nick with his overalls on unblocking the toilets, as I have seen much in the last few days. That's where he spends a lot of his time, doing that and other jobs. But he just gets on and picks up those jobs, which actually aren't the most pleasant jobs, and serves and does them and so faithfully. And we thank you for that and for all your wisdom and for all that you have served and for the ways that you've kept me sane over the last few years too, for both of you. So a little gift for you can fight over, or you can just share them in there. But thank you. Bless you. And thankfully, someone has volunteered to step into Nick's shoes. And I'm delighted to say Liz Wybrow is willing to stand again as church warden, and Chris Messley has agreed to be church warden for this next year too. So Liz and Chris, would you come up too? You're going to just share one or two things about, that you're going to share. We better do it officially first. Come up anyway. So just to say, Chris has been proposed by Sean Vickery and seconded by Ian Nichols, and Liz has been proposed by Carol Nichols and seconded by Peter Mortimer. As they are the only two nominations, then they are elected. But let's show our approval and our full support. Thank you very much indeed. You are now church wardens.
Stepping into Nick's shoes is going to be a hard thing to do. And
we should have had a ceremony handing over the overalls, shouldn't we?
So Liz and I have been talking a little bit about how we will work together going forward. And one of the things that we recognise is that the job of church warden is a very broad thing, and it covers a lot of different aspects. And a lot of people are already involved in helping to make things happen. So we want to formalise and recognise the work that some people are doing already, but also make some opportunities as well. So we're going to be introducing, as All Saints already have, this concept of wardens in charge. So we're allowed, as wardens, to deputise a few people to look after the sort of practical elements of running services. And we can't name the names of people we're talking to yet, but you will get to hear them over the next few weeks, hopefully. But we're very grateful that there are folk who are prepared to take on the role of warden, looking after the services going forward. So watch this space, please. But thank you again for your votes. That sounds like a politician's thing, doesn't it?
Let's pray for them, shall we? Lord, we thank you for Nick, I did this morning. Chris and Liz, as they are taking over as wardens, particularly at this time when I'm about to depart. And we pray your blessing on them, that you would fill them with your spirit of wisdom, that you would give them all that they need to lead in these roles. And you will help us to support and encourage and serve them in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. That closes the meeting of the parishioners, and now we move on to the annual parochial church meeting, which is for everyone on the electoral roll. Others may be present here, but you're officially not allowed to vote, but you're very welcome to be present as observers. Apologies for absence, we'll take as the same as before. We need to approve the minutes of last year's APCM held on the 3rd of April 2022. It's worth reading back on them and seeing what we were saying a year ago. It's always encouraging to see how things have changed. Can I receive these as an accurate record? Not that anyone remembers. I think that's Derek's got approval, so I'm happy to go with that. Great. No matters arising, I don't think. And we now move on to the electoral roll report. So, Nick, up you come again. He's carrying on as electoral roll officer, I think. Although I haven't had that discussion with him.
You lose the plumbing and keep the electoral roll officer, which is incredibly onerous, and this is the shortest report on earth. The numbers on the electoral roll have gone up this year from 184 last year to 188. We have actually got 16 new people on the roll, and those with you advanced mathematical capabilities will be able to work out that we've lost a few people. 38% of the congregate of the electoral roll live in the parish, and 62% live outside the parish, which is an interesting reflection on our membership, I think. And it is perhaps worth noting that that number is quite a long way short of Dave's worshipping community number. And if you haven't signed up for the electoral roll, you still can.
Our worshipping community number includes children, which the electoral roll doesn't.
That is true.
Because you have to be 18.
Yep. You can sign up at any time if you haven't got round to it, except the actual official roll only gets renewed once a year. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Nick, for your job there. And just to say, particularly if you do want to stand as PCC next year, it's helpful to get your electoral roll form in now. Otherwise, you have to do what we might have to do with someone later and get them co-opted for 6 months. The trustees' annual report. So this is a report we produced because we are a registered charity, which looks like that, which is slightly different from our St. Andrew's All Saints review, which looks like that. So this one we have to approve. This has been put together by Andy and Derek and myself and a couple of others. Can we receive this? All in favour? It's on the website. It's at the back if you want it. Okay, proposer and seconder. Val's proposing. Seconder. Heather, thank you. Andy, financial.
I've got about an hour as usual, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. How do I go backward? That way, great, thank you. For anybody who doesn't know me, I'm Andy Limer. I'm the treasurer of the church here and have been for a number of years. A great privilege it is to do that. One of the greatest ways of seeing God at work is seeing how the imaginative things that that God shares with Dave then get funded. And it's a great privilege to be involved in doing that. And I said that with a straight face, did you notice? And so it is a huge privilege to be able to watch God at work in this way and to be part of what is an amazing community who are incredibly generous with many things, including their money. So let me share a little bit of where we are financially as a church, because that's an important part of how we operate, of course. So apologies, the text is a little small here for some of you, but hopefully you'll be able to see the recording afterwards and see the text somewhat larger at that point. I'm sharing with you the annual financial statements, which are an exciting document that looks a little like this. There are copies available on the website, and some printed copies were made available at the as you were coming in. Please do have a look at it. If you do have any questions, I am very happy to pass them on to Dave when he comes back to answer for you. So how have we been performing over the last year? How has God been using our financial gifts? Let's start with our income. Our income for the year, as it shows there, was £269,000, just under £270,000. That's 13% up on the income that we had last year. That's made up, as the pie chart shows you there, of a number of primary sources. Mainly, about 44% of that comes from our bank transfers, from those of you who are giving directly to the church, directly from a bank transfer. We have around 10% of our income comes from cash on the plate, from envelopes. Some people give using an envelope system to the church. And a growing proportion of our income comes from online giving, these funny squiggly black and white codes that you get at the end of the newsletter that comes out each week, from mechanisms like that and giving online, which is a growing part of the way we give. We get about 13% of our income from tax refunds. So those of you who gift aid to the church, that contributes last year over £30,000 to the income of this of the church. If you're in a position to gift aid when you give to us, please do. It makes an enormous amount of difference to us, ideally without costing you actually any money at all. It's the government giving us back the tax which you have given them from your income. So that makes a very big difference to us. We also have a number of other sources of income that I've listed there. One I will pick out that actually we incorporate CAP into our accounts in the church here. CAP actually operates across the whole of Malvern. A number of churches contribute and engage with CAP, but its finances run through the church here. We're the sort of lead partner, if you like, there. So some of our income reflects that's about £26,000 for the year. One final one just to highlight there for you, the Blessing Fund. Blessing Fund this year, we had an additional £2,247 given to the Blessing Fund. Those of you who are regular attenders here know that was something that God prompted us to set up about 12 months or so just before COVID, as if he knew that was coming. To set up a special fund that we use to be able to support people that touch the community here in the church or at All Saints, within our community, where they have particular need, whatever that need may be, from very practical things to emergencies to needs that make a difference in their lives. So we have a fund to be able to support people. If you know somebody who might be in that position where a few hundred pounds might make a difference to something that's important to them, we have a fund that can help support that. Do please let us know if that's the case. How has our income changed over the last few years? You'll see there, I haven't gone all the way back to when Dave started, but about the same sort of time. We had about £161,000 worth of income then. There was a jump around 2019. That's the point at which We launched CAP, so a chunk of that difference was CAP-related, which is why I mentioned that a little earlier, if you wonder why there's that sudden leap. So some additional funds coming in for a new activity for us. And while our income dipped a little over the last couple of years, for reasons I'm sure you can understand and imagine, with all that's been going on in people's lives, it has actually risen again this year, as I said, to 269,000. So if you see overall, that's gone up by, we're two-thirds more income than we had in 2017, and a part of that includes CAP. So God is really blessing the work here with income for us to then go out and spend. So let's have a look at the expenditure. Those on the PCC laugh when I talk about income and expenditure, because I say I spend no time whatsoever worrying about the income. Unlike most people, sort of finance directors of businesses who spend all their time worrying about income, I leave that one with God. God worries about the income side of things. I see my job as treasurer of this church to make sure that we spend all of it. Yeah, and so my job is to try and spend it and make sure that we're using it to be able to honour God and help grow the community and partner with God in flourishing our community. So we spent last year £235,000, £235,500. So I'm disappointed because that's less the income that we had. I like us to match these two. I think that's what we should be doing. I don't like surpluses because that means we're not using all the money that God has given us. So we need to think a little harder. That went up 2.8% on the expenditure we had last year. And in part that was lower because, as Dave intimated earlier, we were anticipating some growth in staff numbers that didn't happen. So that's one of the reasons why those things differed. Let me just explain to you where we have spent money over the last 12 months. Our ministry share is about a third of all of our income. That's the money that we give to the diocese that then pays for Dave and used to pay for Peter when he was here and pays housing costs and so on. Also contributes.
Pay for Lynn, so in effect that's paid for part of St Mary's too. Okay. I think that's really important to say that we've not just been, we've been funding more than just me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was about to say that.
Sorry.
So our ministry share also pays for things other than for Dave's house. And it also contributes to the work of the diocese and the ongoing costs there and the support that we get from them. So that's an important cost. We spent about 22% of our income on office costs and on the administrative staff that glue our activities together, a very important part of what we do. We give away a proportion of our income. The PCC tasks me with making sure that at least 10% of the income that we receive is given away a year outside of the things which we directly engage in as a community. So last year we gave away just over £23,000 to various sources. I'll show you those in a moment. We also spent around £40,000 supporting the mission and outreach in the community. Some of the things that Dave indicated a little earlier, but also things like the Octagon Cafe, the bereavement cafe and so on. We spent about £13,000 on making sure the building doesn't fall down, and that's a sum that is rising rapidly, as you might expect. I had a shock when I got our new electric and gas bill commitments. I'm not going to ask for a higher or lower guess on how much we spend on gas and electricity. Now we haven't got the time to do that. But you won't be surprised to hear that, like everybody else, like you're all facing, those costs have gone up very dramatically. This year we'll spend probably approaching £12,000 on gas and electricity to keep this place lit and warm. So some very significant costs incurred there. We spend around 6% of our income on our children and on our young people, including the staffing costs which are going to that. So that gives you some idea of the sorts of expenditures that we incur. There's more detail in the tables, in the charts, if you want to see those. So what does that look like from year to year? Same chart as I was showing on the income. You'll see our expenses have also risen again. There was that jump 2018 that was at least in part related to CAP, and I've already explained how our how we've had a jump over the last couple of years. So we're about 89% higher over the last 5 years in costs. So that gives you an overview. There's a certain amount more detail in the accounts. If any of you want to know anything at all about the finances of the church, please do ask. Yeah, I get very few questions on all of this. So I'm delighted when people ask me what's going on with the finances. So please do ask. I mentioned that we give away at least 10% of our income. If you can read the small print up there, that details some of the ways in which we have given away this year. So we gave away between £1,500 and £2,000 to each of 8 or 9 different organisations that are listed there. The Bible Society, the Church Army for the work that Nick Russell does in London, for the work that Baden and Katie do in Tanzania, for the work in Thailand that the Fletchers do, directly to Terry English for Josiah Ventures, for the work that he's doing in his part of the world, for Open Doors, and also to support a college in Tanzania that's linked with George. Some of you will remember George from a few years ago, who supports us. So that gives some of the detail of the away giving. We also give a chunk of money to Compassion and Siloam to support sponsorship for some children that's linked directly with our Pathfinders and children's work. We also gave away last year around £5,000 in other gifts. You may have noticed when you went to the bathroom here, went to the toilets here, that all of our toilets have now been twinned. I hope you've noticed that. So we twinned all of our toilets. If that's not something you've done at home, you should have a look into that. It's a fantastic way of supporting a great venture in twinning your toilet with another toilet somewhere in the world to help raise money for developing countries. And we also gave some money to Icing Pot, we've mentioned them already today, and also some extra support that we raised for the Ukraine, if you remember earlier in the year. You'll also note in the accounts, if you check this, I mentioned this because it's a material sum, that last year I talked about giving away £15,000 towards the building project at St Mary's that they had planned. That building project now isn't going ahead, and therefore they gave us the money back. And what we decided to do with this is to put that money into the Megan's Kitchen activity that's happening at All Saints. So the money was directly passed on again in that way, in case you're interested. So that was how we gave away a large chunk of our money. I've also mentioned the Blessing Fund that we set up, just to give you a summary of what happened with the Blessing Fund. As I said earlier, we had £2,247 in, and we gave out £3,000. The balance as of the end of last year, the 1st of January this year, was just over £7,000. So as I say, we have a pot of money there that I'm itching to give away. It really offends me that we have £7,000 in an account where I know there are people whose lives could be benefited by giving away some of that money. So if you can think of ways in which that could happen, please let us know. I would be delighted to give it away. It gives me no more pleasure than giving money away to people who desperately need it. I get the privilege of standing up here and talking about finances once a year, but the finance team is quite a reasonable size group of people. Marion in particular does most of the hard work. Marion's not here today, but I know she will watch this, and I want to take this as an opportunity to be able to thank Marion for all the work that she does, largely unseen, making sure that bills get paid and the income gets logged correctly. And Marion does an enormous amount of work unseen. If you get a chance to thank her, please do so, because she does a huge amount of work. Similarly with other members of the team, Valerie, who I think is here. Valerie, thank you for the work that you do with gift aid and with envelopes. That is a huge amount of work that happens, and it's through Valerie that we get back that £30,000. So the work that she does is hugely important. Thank you for the work you do, Valerie, there. Chris, I don't think Chris is here now, but Chris Hopes looked after the cash management. Chris has stopped doing that now. We could do with somebody else to help us with the cash management in the church. That's banking the money that we get through cash money. At the moment, I'm having to do that, so it would be great if somebody else might like to join the finance team and engage with that. That would be fantastic. And then I pick up all the other bits and pieces. One of the other roles that would be lovely to have somebody to help with us, as you'd notice, we keep hiring new members of staff. And that means the payroll is getting bigger and bigger and now has become quite a sizable role. If anybody has any experience with doing payroll, I would love to pass on that responsibility to somebody who could join the finance team and help us. That's a really important task for obvious reasons. People get quite upset when they don't get paid at the end of the month, and rightly so. And so if anybody would like to help us with that and join the team, we would love you to do that. And we will need to approve the examiners in a few moments. So we're grateful for the work that our auditors do, and we'll approve them for the next year in a few moments. Last couple of slides. How do you give to the church? We try to make it as easy as possible for people to be able to give to the church, for the obvious reasons. We are very happy for you to make a direct contribution to our bank account. The details are detailed there, or just let me know. I can give you those details. That's usually the easiest way to do it. You can give through CAF or stewardship, if those are ways that you make regular use of. Some people use payroll giving. If you're an employee and can do that, we can take payroll giving as well. Cash is welcome. We used to get quite a large amount of cash. These days, people don't transact in cash in the same way, but we do still welcome cash. That's okay. You can give us cash too. We don't mind. Cash is still welcome, or checks. If you do provide checks, please do make them out to PCC, or Parochial Church Council, St Andrews, rather than just St Andrews Malvern, or any other random way, because otherwise I have to give you the cheque back and get you reissuing it. Some of you have had to go through that process, but we are quite happy to receive cheques. You can also give via a debit or a credit card online. Some of you will have noticed the QR codes that we put at the end of our newsletters. That seems to work quite effectively. But we also are very happy, pleased to receive gift aid. I've mentioned this already. There's a form to fill out that we can give you a copy of that's on our website, which give us a formal approval to be able to collect gift aid on your behalf. So please do speak to me if that might be appropriate for you. We also have another new toy. As I say, we're doing our best to try and make it as easy and as straightforward for people to be able to give as possible, and also hopefully to be able to make it an appropriate way for some people to give, where they wish to give perhaps irregularly to us. If they're not in a position to be able to make a regular commitment, that can be quite difficult to do. So we've got hold of a new toy, which is a tap and go payment system, like some of you are perhaps used to being starting to use in shops. You'll find this, we're going to put this either on the table or on the wall, strap this to the wall outside, and this gives us a new way of being able to give money to the church. I think Dave is going to demo how easy it is. So this is why I worry about whether this is now actually going to work, because this is officially the first time we've actually used it in church.
I'm going to turn it around so they can't see what I'm giving.
So you select a sum of money on the screen and literally just tap it on the top, and hopefully there you
go. Payment approved.
And you get a little notice there below that enables you to gift aid it if you wish to, you can also ask for a receipt if that's important to you through that system. So we'll have this available at the back of the church from now on, or on the wall, strapped on the wall outside, and literally is as easy as that, if that suits some of you, to be able to give that way. And you'll have seen on the screen there are various sums that you can pick, a particular amount, but there's also a button at the bottom for you to be able to give any amount that is appropriate for you to for you to give, however small or however large. So Dave's just gift aiding the sum to filling out the gift aid declaration form, now. That's great, Dave. We've already got gift aid declaration.
Choose how you want to hear from us. No, thanks. Done.
Thanks. So you can see how straightforward it is. If Dave can do it, then any of you should find it just fine. Thanks, Dave. So where are we heading? Where are we going forward? I used this slide last year, and I debated whether I should use it again this year, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure we're in any better, less certain position financially as a society, as a country, than we were a year ago when I put this slide in. We're facing all kinds of challenges. Where is energy pricing going? We hope it's going down, but we're all facing higher costs after the 1st of April, aren't we? Just like we as a church are. We're facing a variety of staff changes. We have plans to be able to recruit more people. We were given some exciting illustrations over the last 12 months of how having more staff able to give more time to the church means that we can collectively do more. How exciting that is, that our income is being able to enable us to be able to do that, and also go out and get money from other sources where we can to be able to support those changes. We know we're facing very significant inflation costs. We know you are facing significant inflation costs, and thank you that you've been able to continue to give so generously to the church when we're all under such financial pressure. That is hugely appreciated. Thank you very much on behalf of the PCC in the church. And of course we know that we should all be looking at where we are giving, not only to the church but also to other things which matter in our society, and so we rightly understand and appreciate why it may be right for some of you to give less money to the church in the future, because you are called by God to support other things where you see other needs. Yeah, and I, as a treasurer, am delighted to free you to do that, please. Yeah, if that's what God encourages you to do. Yeah, like I say, I don't worry about the income. God worries about the income. Yeah, and he will make sure that we have enough money to do the things that he wants us to do. Yeah, and therefore, if he's prompting you to give less money to the church because you feel you should be giving more money elsewhere, then please do so. That's absolutely fine. Yeah. There are a whole variety of new things, however, we are looking to do. And if God does prompt you to give more money to that, then that will enable us to do ever more of those things. And we're grateful if you do that. So we face all kinds of uncertainty. Oh, one of the other things I was going to mention, we don't very often mention this, and forgive me for mentioning this. I know in being very British about these things, we don't like to talk about legacy and legacy giving. But if that's something some of you would like more information about, I'm actually in the, I've got some leaflets, or will have some very shortly, that I could share with people if that might be something that would be of interest to you, or you'd like to know how you can engage with that. Please do ask. So that's my conclusion. You'll be pleased to hear. That's it from me. I've done my 5 minutes.
Do you want to?
Thank you very much for the support you've given us. But what I do want to do is to praise God in this. I think that each year I stand here and I read out details of the income and the expenditure, and each year I'm overwhelmed when I get to the end of the year and look at the way in which God has acted through us, the way in which people have been prompted to give generously to the church, and the way in which that has released us as a community to be able to bless those who we touch immediately here and further afield. And so I want to praise God for the support that he has given to us through you for this, because that's what makes all the difference. Thank you.
And I want to praise God for having an amazing treasurer who is faith-filled and who makes things so easy. So we need to do two things. We need to receive the annual accounts for 2022. Could someone propose? Derek, thank you. Seconded, Liz. All in favour? Received, thank you. And we need to appoint the independent examiner of Kendall Wadling. Andy, will you propose? Are you allowed to? Oh, someone else. Andy will propose, and Bob will second. All in favour? Excellent, done. Good. Thank you so much. Andy will be at the door. So over the next 3 months, you can judge the quality of the sermons by the tip that you give on the way out. Quickly moving on, receiving the St. Andrew's and All Saints annual review, I hope you've all got a copy of this. Thank you to Liz and for all those who have contributed. I think it's a great sign that I've written less reports than ever this year. It's a positive sign that people are taking responsibility for leadership, which is great. Please take this to pray through. Take this to read through. Why don't you read a page a day and pray through it, a page a day for those things. And if you see new people, it's a great thing to give to new people. Can we receive this? With gratitude. Thank you. Safeguarding update, Val.
Thank you to all those who've played a part in helping to ensure that St Andrew's is a safe place for us all, especially for our large number of children and our large number of vulnerable adults. And those thanks go to every one of you who's kept your eyes and ears open to be alert for any possible situation that needs to be identified. In particular, though, I do want to thank Derek Barnes for his continued help and support in producing any new documents we've needed and making sure all the others stay up to date. Thank you, Derek. During 2021, I have processed 43 DBS checks, 4 of them for CAP befrienders from other churches and 11 for St James West Malvern, where there has been no PSO until recently. All safeguarding training has been completed online in 2022. We've had 22 people doing the basic level, 51 people the foundation level, and 8 people the leadership level. And those figures don't include the retired clergy or the readers, as the diocese is responsible for ensuring they're trained. I don't have to chase them up. Domestic abuse training has now been added to the Church of England training programme. I've completed the training, and Dave did it a while ago. It's likely that all PCC members will be asked to complete it later this year. Any safeguarding issues that have arisen during the year have been addressed by Dave and myself in consultation with our excellent diocesan team. And a bit of that parish share that we have to see 30% of our money going out funds an excellent safeguarding team in Worcester. We have one of the best in the country, I think, and we're very grateful for their help. Safeguarding continues to be under significant scrutiny in the Church of England. It is essential that we all continue to be vigilant. Please always feel able to discuss any potential safeguarding concerns with me. Sometimes your minor concern is part of a bigger picture. This can be a child at risk, a vulnerable adult at risk, or a case of possible domestic abuse. So it is vitally important that we all keep our eyes and ears open. That's my formal report. I will just say I'm now processing around 100 DBS checks for the two churches, around 120 people doing safeguarding training. All that has to be renewed every 3 years, so if you divide by 3, that's the number of people I'm having to get put through new checks or renew their training each year. That's fine until I have to chase them 3 or 4 times to get people to do things. And I have to say that's the worst bit of the job. I don't like doing it. I'm sure you don't like getting the emails from me any more than I don't like sending them. Please can you respond when I ask you to do things? Because it's an important job. I enjoy doing it. I've got other things I do as well, and I'd rather not spend my time chasing emails.
And we thank want you. To just say a huge thank you to Val. Val is, we are so fortunate to have Val here as just her wisdom, but her organisation. And I know how much I value Val's just chatting through different situations as I've chatted through 2 this week, haven't we? So this is live. It's not just a paper pushing exercise. It's really important. So please let's support Val and thank her for what she's doing. Thank you very much. Okay, we're nearly there. Elections. For, first of all, Deanery Synod. We re-elect these every 3 years. Jane Mortimer and Carol Nichols are willing to stand again. Jane has been proposed by Nick Fain, seconded by Simon Noble. Carol Nichols proposed by Liz Wybrow, seconded by Peter Mortimer. There is one more space still, if anyone fancies joining Deanery Synod and representing the church in our deanery, then please do see myself or Jane or Carol and find out more. But can we approve those? Thank you so much, Jane and Carol. And then PCC members, we have several spaces. So a few of these are being re-elected. So Nick has to be elected back on because he's not on officially as automatically as church warden. So Nick is proposed by Roger Ashman, seconded by Pauline Whitworth. Ellie Noble is going to come on for 1 year more and is going to be proposed by Tristan and seconded by Derek Barnes. Anna Laidler, proposed by Joan McNamee and seconded by Debbie Austin. Beth Reed, some of you might not know Beth. Beth, give us a wave. It's lovely to have Beth joining us on PCC. Proposed by Ruth Wharton and seconded by Jenny Oakley. Colin, proposed by Valerie Fain and seconded by Jane Mortimer. Jenny Oakley, proposed by Ruth Wharton, seconded by Val Fain. Val Fain, proposed by Mike Dawson, seconded by Bev Atkinson. And then Jin is very keen to become on PC, but as he isn't on the electoral roll yet, the proposal is that we co-opt him for 6 months, get him on the electoral roll, and then he can become an official PCC member. I think he's got lots to contribute. And that would fill all the spaces. And as I haven't had any more, those people are duly elected, but please let's show approval for them. And let me pray. Would those people, if they're here, stand up? In fact, all the PCC, current PCC, please stand up. And let's just pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these new people and bringing re-elections of older people too. And we pray your blessing on each and every person and the PCC in this next year, that you'll help them to govern wisely and lead well in line with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can you give me 6 more minutes? No. All right. Sorry, we're a bit later, but you don't have to listen to me for another 3 months. Just a few thoughts, very quick, to think about looking forward. And first of all, more than anything, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much to all of you who serve in so many ways, as we've already mentioned. You know, I am in this church still because of you guys, because it's just a delightful people to work with. And a verse that's been going in my mind as I've been praying for sabbatical is that verse which Jesus said to his disciples. He said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And I've been thinking, my version of this, I don't call you congregation members, I call you friends. And I really mean that. And I'm going to miss you guys in the next few weeks. But as I said to All Saints this morning, if you see me in town, you can talk to me and do say hello. Just don't talk about church. A year ago, this was the verse that we were particularly focused on. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes upon you. And I think we have kept our eyes on God through tough times and times actually where we really haven't known the way for quite a lot of months. And God finally, I think, is opening up an awful lot of stuff to us, which is exciting now. If you remember back in 2020, October 2020, the first APCM in the pandemic, I did my rector's review from outside the gates of Connecticut as they had just dismantled all the old Connecticut buildings and got these piles of rubble in the background, and talked about how I sensed that was a picture of God wanting to build new things with the foundation of the old rubble, of the old. And I think 3 years on, the Kinetic site is such a prophetic picture of what God is doing here amongst our church. You know, there are some places where actually we still don't know what it looks like. You know, I think there's a big question still over youth ministry, and that's something which we're going to look at that again, depending on what the diocese might or might not support us with when I'm back from sabbatical. There's the question of staffing still, which, you know, we're not sure about what that's going to look like yet, who God might bring. And so some of stuff is still unknown. There's other stuff which actually we are beginning to build really significant things, but we're still in the process of building. You know, it's fantastic having Ruth join us as part of the children's team with Helen, and it's exciting. We're beginning to see what that might look like, but that's very much a work in progress. But that's God has clearly shown us that that's the way forward, and so much exciting stuff which will see in a year's time that we can't see now. There's other stuff where actually, you know, it's nearly built and it's nearly really functioning. You know, I think leadership stuff over the last year, we've set up congregational leadership teams for each congregation. We've set up other teams. And it's really exciting to see what God is doing and how God's building that. And those are now beginning to operate really well. And there are other places where actually it's fully built. You know, those houses are in residence now. We've had our first couple from that new housing estate who are coming to church here. And there are some things, you know, in our church which are just really working well and we're seeing real fruit. And things like Early Birds and the Bereavement Cafe, which we were sharing about earlier. We're just, you know, they're really well established and, you know, exciting things are happening. The interesting thing is that I heard the Kinetic site is going to be building for another 3 years, possibly more. I think that's God's message to us, that actually this isn't going to finish for a while. You know, we're still going to be a work in progress for a while, but it's exciting. One of the most exciting developments in the last few weeks has been conversations with St. Mary's. So 2 weeks ago, I went to see the St. Mary's PCC and had a conversation and shared where we were at. And they had consulted their congregation, and we had a really positive conversation. And unanimously, they've said, we want to explore, you know, reforming the team and working closely with St. Andrew's and All Saints. And amazing to hear their vision and how close that was to our vision, really aligning. I've met again with the PCC this afternoon, just had some further conversations. And yeah, God has so clearly brought us together. And I hope that will become formal at the in the middle of July when I'm back and watch this space. And as part of that, we are hoping to re-advertise the team vicar, stroke associate vicar, not quite sure what we're going to call it, role, at the end of July or beginning of September. And, you know, hoping that that's something that we can put together with St. Mary's over these next few months. We can get that advert out again, and I would love to feel that God's going to provide the right person that we can appoint in the autumn, maybe even to start before Christmas. And the good thing is that the money is there, that the money that we've just saved over the last few years, it's there, and we've just got to find the right person and pray for the right person. But really exciting stuff with that. Where's God leading us? Well, just a few things. As I've just said, we're going to be re-advertising for the team vicar in July or September. Please pray for that. I've had some encouraging conversations. I can't say any more than that. Watch this space. There's a big question, I think, is how can we continue to be blessed to be a blessing, you know, to our communities and to other churches? You know, God's given us this passion to say we're not just here to build a St. Andrew's and All Saints empire. We're here to bless our communities and bless the deanery, bless other churches across Malvern. And how do we do that is some of the question. And you know, let's continue to pray that God would show us that. I think, as I've said, we need to review the youth provision in July and just see where we are with the Darcy strategy, which is to want to support hubs of youth and children's ministry in different in each deanery. We may or may not be asked to be part of that, but conversations will be ongoing there. And then a question for us, particularly St. Andrew's, is the 10:30 is nearly full again. And what do we do? And we've begun to ask this question with the St. Andrew's PCC, you know, and discuss some different options. Do we look to extend the building? Do we look to send a graft to another church? Do we even look to relocate somewhere else? But I think the sense that was coming out of that initial conversations is that actually maybe this is where God's leading us. What would it look like to plant new congregations? And it's really interesting what's coming forward with it. So we've already talked about the potential of a worshipping community at the Octagon. We've talked in the past about, you know, possibly planting something up at Malvern Wells School, even. And the interesting thing is that Alice's job currently is working with a church planting organisation called Myriad, headed up by John McGinley, they are trying to resource lay church planters over the next few years to create 10,000 new worshipping congregations across the country. The Diocese of Worcester are part of that, and there's a hub that is starting in the Diocese of Worcester, remarkably, in January 2024, that I think we are called to be part of. Watch this space, exciting stuff. And a key question that I think we need to ask is who's missing? who actually isn't coming to our churches at the moment? Who are we not providing a worshipping community that's accessible for? I think I know some of the answers to that, but who's missing that God wants to provide in the future? And one book that I'm going away to read, and I'm encouraging many leaders to read in this church, and I encourage any of you to read, is John McGinley's new book, which is called The Church of Tomorrow, which is just out, and I think a really key book for this time. I've read most of it, and if you want to know what my thinking is on where this church needs to go, I agree with everything in there so far. Go and read that, and we're going to perhaps talk about that in the autumn a bit more. That's all I'm going to say, but I finish with those verses from Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all, I love that, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Isn't that so much the heart of what we're seeking to be? Throughout all generations, forever and ever. To live in God's power, to be full to the brim of God's, to bring him glory, and to just continue to see Jesus preached in all generations. Thank you for being who you are. I will miss you over the next few months. I'll be praying for you. You pray for me. I am going to do some little videos on my own YouTube channel, which I will get Liz to just give the link for that. So if you want to see some nice pictures from the north of Scotland and things in the next few weeks and see what I'm up to, then please log on to that. Otherwise, I will see you then. Is someone else? That's me finished.
Great. Thank you, Dave, for leading us. And we couldn't let you go without commissioning you and praying for you. So in a moment we'll pray for you, but we recognise that this isn't a holiday for you. This is actually a special time, foundational, formational, and we pray that God will bless you through it. And we wanted, as a congregation, to really recognise that this is a really important thing that you are doing, and you go with our blessing. And I think you've already been told the amounts, but from our congregation's individual gifts, it's about £1,700 has been given, and then the PCC has also topped that up to about £4,000 in total. So this is our commitment to you, Dave, that we want you to spend the time that you need to exploring faith and where God might be leading us over the coming months. So we bless you, Dave.
Thank you.
Several people have asked, is there going to be the opportunity to pray for Dave? So, risking everybody coming out, I'd like to invite people, if you would like to, just to come and stand around Dave. This may not work on the video, but several people have particularly asked to pray. So do please come forward.
Can we invite Alice up as well?
Alice, would you come too, please? We recognise that this is for your family and not just for Dave. So. So I invite several people to pray for Dave and Alice.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you in the beginning for bringing Dave and Alice here. And we thank you for can now celebrate 7 years. And we thank you for this time that Dave is able to have the sabbatical. And we just pray your blessing on Jesus, that you will speak powerfully to him, that you will lead and guide him as you always do, but that he will be so blessed by this time. And we also pray for Alice, Lord Jesus, Alice and Josh and Elena. We just pray that your power will be powerfully present for Alice as she manages the next 3 months in a different family way of life. But may she know, Josh and Elena know your presence powerfully, your arms wrapped around them as they go through this time. We pray this in your precious name.
Dave and Alice, may you know Jesus more closely each day, and this time of walking with Jesus. Lord, may you be the centre of their lives and their family over these coming weeks and months. Amen.
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 And we pray for the gift of joy to all the family. And as they go out and experience new things, Lord, give them joy in your wonderful creation.
Amen.
Lord, we know they're full of expectations to what you're going to do in this time. We just pray, Lord, that you will multiply those expectations, that they will be blessed far more than they ever expected.
Yes,
Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May he lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
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 As it says in Proverbs 3, my child, never drift off course from these two goals for your life, to walk in wisdom and to discover your purpose. Don't ever forget how they empower you. For they strengthen you inside and out and inspire you to do what's right. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing they bring. They give you living hope to guide you, and not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. You will sleep like a baby, safe and sound. Your rest will be sweet and secure.
Lord, we just pray for Dave, first of all, that it's a little bit like going into the promised land, not knowing what may happen and what he might see, but we know that you will guide him, that you will give him peace of mind and an open heart to hear what you have to say. Lord, we thank you for this up moment this evening of the gracious hand upon us and an encouraging start to this time of being the sabbatical. Lord, just bless him, we do pray. And for Alice and the family, Lord, give them the strength to cope and the decisions that have to be made. Watch over them and protect them, we do pray. May we faithfully support them in prayer and other ways too. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's stand and finish with the St. Andrew's and All Saints, and now St. Mary's prayer. Can someone put that on? Rob, please. Don't know where it is. Should have been the last two of the three penultimate slides. Here we are. Let's just say this as we close. In the name of Jesus, we bless St. Andrew's and All Saints and St. Mary's and all the other churches of our town, that we will encounter the transforming presence of God more deeply. In the name of Jesus, we bless our young people, that they will grow and be filled to overflowing with your Spirit and shine for you in their schools, with their friends, and in their families. In the name of Jesus, we bless our communities, that they will flourish with your life and values, and that lives will be transformed and people's hearts softened to receive the love of God. Pour out your Spirit on us all, and teach us what it means to walk with you. Amen. God bless you all. There is a bit of a tradition lately at the evening service where some of us go and pop to the Bluebell afterwards. If anyone fancies joining us in the Bluebell, then you are very welcome. Otherwise, safe travels home. Sorry it's gone on a bit.
We seek your kingdom throughout every sphere.
Transform.